Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition slash sports of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of Kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only, the band that, as I discussed it last week, would not give me a break, would not let me take a day off or a vacation week from doing the show. Keep bothering me every freaking week. I'm sorry. Just venting. I have the one, the only.
Sean Black in the building once again. The man that keeps the Hot Rod honest, because let's be honest, somebody has to.
Well, you know, I know last week I told people we're taking off. But you know what? This is America.
Well, you know what it is? The real world will not allow us to take a break off. That's what it is.
I guess not. So we decided to do this last-minute show, maybe a short version show, so don't be surprised. We get everything done in a half an hour. But if I sound a little bit racist tonight or gone a little bit crazy, because I'm on Ambien right now, and so, you know, that's part of the side effect of it, of being. So if I say any words out of context, it's the drugs I'm taking right now, all right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the number out there to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Excuse me, I'm a little bit under the weather also. Sean Black, are you ready to be a racist right now?
No, but I am ready to piss people off.
Okay, well, no one is pissing people off like Roseanne Barr.
Yes.
Just yesterday, I received a text from you, from everybody, about the show Roseanne Barr. That was a number one sitcom for ABC this past season. Got canceled, and at first I did not know why, but of course I did my research, and all I could say was, "Wow!" Not just me, a lot of people were shocked, and of course the drama did not stop there. It continued to even as we speak right now. But before we go into too much about the drama, what did Roseanne Barr tweet that started this mess in the first place, Sean Black?
Well, just as you stated 2 days ago, Roseanne Barr was on Twitter, as a lot of people seem to be nowadays, responding to some sort of question or some sort of comment that was being made about Valerie Jarrett, who was at one time an advisor to former President Barack Obama. And she said in her tweet, quote, "Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had baby equals Valerie Jarrett." That's the quote that she put in Twitter. Now, to give you a little bit of backstory, Valerie Jarrett is, I believe, Iranian-American. I believe she was born her mother is Iranian and her father is American. I can't remember the exact dynamic. She's raised in America. She is American. She is African-American. And she, as I just stated earlier, was part of, was an advisor to former President Barack Obama. We've seen her on TV before. And now, this kind of tweet is not the first time that Roseanne has actually jumped into the barrel of borderline racism, overt racism, or just flat-out kookiness. So this was, I guess, the buildup of some of the things that have happened over time. Now, to give you a little more pushback, Channing Dungey, who is the president of ABC Entertainment with ABC, who happens to also be an African-American female, which is the first African-American to hold such a title at a network television station, she basically had to just kind of wash her hands of this whole thing. The tweet went viral, and the first thing that dropped was Wanda Sykes, who was a co-producer of the show, and I believe she was a head writer on the show, after the tweet went out, she quit. She said, I'm done with this. Sarah Gilbert, who was one of the stars of the rebooted Roseanne show, she plays Darlene, one of the daughters on the show, she expressed extreme disgust with the tweet, and she was in the process of probably leaving the show herself.
I doubt that, but go ahead.
The reason why I say that is because she also has her own show on CBS that she created, which is The Talk. She actually created that show, and she's been doing that at CBS for the longest. So if that's the case,
she's also the EP on Roseanne as well.
That is
so
true.
That's why
In all reality, based on the tweet that I saw that she put up there, I would not have been surprised if she did. Now, and then we fast forward.
Okay.
It happened very fast. After all of that happened, then we found out, after all of these things came out, ABC was silent for maybe about an hour, and then ABC decided, you know what, we're washing our hands of this entire situation, and they canceled the show. The show drew a huge amount of ratings for ABC. As a matter of fact, it opened up in March, and it drew well over 18 million people watched. Ironically, President Trump, the esteemed President of the United States, who has fostered a whole lot of the attitude that came out of a lot of the people that have watched the show and that have think like Roseanne from what we've seen, praised it. Ironically, he praised it on the day of the Stephen Clark shooting, which happened, if you remember, the Sacramento shooting that happened with the unarmed black person who they thought had a gun but had a cell phone on him. That was the day he praised the Roseanne thing. When all of this happened, the president had nothing to say about the actual crime, the actual firing of Roseanne, even though he was a big proponent of her. As a matter of fact, he called her the day of the ratings boost that came out from ABC. So I'm going to ask you this one, Hot Rod. I'll bring up the first question after all of this stuff. Do you believe, based on what Roseanne did, do you believe this is a freedom of speech issue, or do you believe that this is just backlash from a network that was in essence doing something because they're trying to make sure their bottom line was taken care of? Moral issue or financial issue?
Well, before I answer that, K-Dog, you're on the line. We will get to you in a minute. It was more a financial issue because, once again, I've discussed on the show many times, money talks and BS walk. With everything that's going on in this crazy world today, between the Me Too movement, even though I call BS on that, time's up. The racism has been going on nonstop. Advertisers do not want to play with stuff like that, with sensitive stuff like that right now. It's like we knew friends who crack up sexual jokes, like myself. We knew friends that crack up racist jokes, like myself. And something about Roseanne Barr, we knew, like you said before, she done crazier things before. Like I say crazier things. So ABC took a gamble by bringing the show back, because the show, they feel the show was the right time, you know, to bring back, especially around what's going on in the world today, which is true, and what's worked out for them. And like you told me yesterday, people who watch Roseanne's show are mostly Trump supporters. And show you, the show is a funny show, and you could relate to the show, but show you how much Trump supporters are out there is amazing. So I believe bottom line, coming out to the wire, ABC have to wash their hands right away, because if they don't do something, the advertisers will. And one thing you don't want to play is somebody's wallet. So they have no choice. Just like they canceled, unfortunately, ABC canceled The Chew. Why? Because of Mario Patelli, old co-host. Granted, he was fired, but now he got charges brought up. So what do they have to do? Do you think they want to cancel the show right away? You think they want to cancel Roseanne right away? No, they was making the money with the advertisement. But there's going to be a huge problem, and people are looking the other way. They have no choice but to cancel it.
And this is one thing that's really hurt ABC in this sense, is the fact that from March, when the show premiered, until when the series went to their now series finale just a couple weeks ago, they drew $45 million in ad revenue. And when the show was picked up because of its ratings to premiere its second season, which was going to probably happen in September or October of this year, they said that that could have actually brought in $60 million of ad revenue. So in less than a year, we're talking a potential windfall of over $100 million in just ad revenue alone. And also, as I've stated before,
for a redneck show, but you know, a bunch of rednecks, as we call it.
Well, you know, I actually watched the opening show just to see how it was, and as you did stated before, the show was actually good. It's not as if this was the tweak of the show was this was a continuation and kind of a reboot, is the fact that it goes towards mainstream America as Roseanne.
The working class.
The show of the Connor family was supposedly people that voted for Trump. And the show was supposed to be a continuation of a Trump family and how they are surviving in that post-Trump era. And that it took the irreverent comedy from when they were first on and applied it to today. And it apparently worked because a lot of middle America that watched the show gave it big ratings. And that was who they were aiming the show toward, it seems. Middle America,
well,
the ones that were upset, they went and lost their minds. They said, I can't believe it, free speech, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't believe that the head of this movement that we've seen, and I'm going towards the President of the United States, Donald Trump, who we know, I don't even have to expound on what his beliefs are, has helped spearhead a lot of the attitude and the racial tone that has been taken on in society right now. He didn't have anything to say, really, after the Roseanne Barr thing happened, until he jumped on Twitter this afternoon. And this is what he said on Twitter. I'm just going to read it quickly. Bob Iger of ABC called Valerie Jarrett to let her know that, quote, ABC does not tolerate comments like those, end quote, made by Roseanne Barr. Gee, he never called President Donald Trump to apologize for the horrible statements made and said about me on ABC. Maybe I just didn't get the call. And only Donald Trump can take this ideal and flip it around and make it about himself. It's an art form for him. I don't know.
I have to give it to K-Dog right now. Mr. K-Dog, you've always been an advocate of saying how social media is basically the devil. Now, it seems like social media has been getting a lot of people in trouble. Why do you think Roseanne came out to tell that bad joke, she quote-unquote bad joke out there, knowing that, you know what, with your platform, with your status, you have to be careful today of what you're saying. You know, even on the show, we have to be careful of what we say. Even though we speak the truth, but we'll never call you a certain type of name on the air just like that. How do you think, basically, do you think Twitter is more of an enemy now than ever before? Like Sean said, Donald Trump goes to Twitter every 2 minutes to talk about it, you know.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, with Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump's a media whore, so he's going to go on Twitter regardless, you know, because he just wants to hear himself talk. And as for Roseanne Barr, it's no surprise because she's done things like this in the past before, even before Twitter. Let's not forget the time that she sang the national anthem and grabbed her crotch after she butchered the national anthem.
She also spit on home plate, too. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, she spit on home plate. I remember that. And also, there was something else, too, that she did on the cover of a magazine where she posed as Hitler with a picture of her pulling out cookies out of the oven, like as if to make fun of the Holocaust. So Roseanne Barr, with this climate, this high climate of racism that's going on now where people are boldly coming out, you know, with I'm not even going to say the Trump's name, but however, it's no surprise. And as the answer to Twitter, I still look at Twitter as both the friend and the enemy, because what you put on social media, no matter how high you are, and I'll say this, even for us regular guys, we got to be very careful on social media because anything could get us in trouble. We could get into serious trouble. And what she did was that she made it really bad for herself by putting something like that out there, you know, in reference to the Muslim Brotherhood and using the Planets of the Apes. And all, and speaking truthfully, that was very uncalled for. And even though she had tried to apologize for the comment, it didn't work because ABC had to do what they had to do. We all know it, to save their station. They have to save the network.
Do you think ABC jumped the gun too quickly to pull the plug on that show?
No, they had to, because I'm going to tell you what it is. Like you stated earlier, business. This is the business sense of it. Because, okay, Roseanne Barr made that racist statement. People are outraged. Now, by keeping Roseanne Barr on the air, just think, ads would be pulling their, businesses would be pulling their ads left and right. Because, you know, you have to remember that there are many black-owned CEOs. And don't forget, also in ABC, they have one of the biggest show producers who's also African-American. Let's not forget Shonda Rhimes. And this is the same network that also does Black-ish. Now, by keeping Roseanne Barr on the air, what do you think would happen? It would give ABC a very bad rap. And, of course, Disney, who owns ABC, is like, we can't let this happen. So we have no choice but to pull the plug on the Roseanne show. As a matter of fact, I was just reading when we were, as a matter of fact, Sean and I had a conversation off the air about the whole thing. And, of course, I read what Bob Iger, the CEO of Walt Disney, had to say about it. He said a lot. He said, you know, a lot of things that this was not going to be tolerated. You know, he said, and I quote, here's what he said. He said, from Channing Dungey, president of ABC Entertainment, Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values. And we have decided to cancel her show. There was only one thing to do here, and that was the right thing. That was exactly what he said.
Okay, but will you guys be upset? Or do you think it will work if Fox pick up the sitcom, Sean?
It wouldn't be a shock to me.
It would be a shock, unless it was reworked in the sense that they will probably try and get, maybe rename the show, maybe spin it off from one of the other characters, like one of the others was saying, they put it on, I think it was, they would try to revolve it around Dan's
Jackie?
Character, the husband, or maybe Jackie, one of the other characters of the show. That could work.
No,
but
I'm sorry. I disagree. It would not work at all.
Roseanne
is a star.
But see, here's the thing that I brought up before when I talked about a lot of celebrities that have scandal, that have had things happen. When Bill Cosby and a lot of this, the stuff that went on that happened with his sexual assault trial, and before the trial was over with, they yanked his shows and everything off of television. They did the same thing here with Roseanne, which was very, very swift, very, very quick. Not only they took off and canceled her show, there were three or four other networks that were showing repeats of her show. And
TV Land and Hulu.
And I believe Laugh Channel as well. They're another digital station.
Yes.
They yanked it off. Now, for people who don't realize how much money those reruns make, $1.2 billion is what that show makes in repeats with its syndication distribution. And that's what was at stake there in that long shot. But the bigger issue here is the tone that has been set. We've talked about before how when we hear about scandals happening, usually it's not as swift or they'll come up with some sort of an excuse, and maybe somebody will come back on to TV, like what we heard what happened with Kathy Griffin and the quote-unquote beheaded showpiece of the president that she did that backfired on her. To some degree,
right.
She started to make a comeback.
Yes,
that
she
is. And the reason that I believe that she's starting to make this comeback is not necessarily as disgusting as what she did was. It's the fact that because of who it was and all of the things that have happened since, the rest of America has looked at Donald Trump in a light that is saying, you know what, I think we can kind of forgive Kathy Griffin for what she's done. She's not fully on television, et cetera, but she's – her career seems to have been salvaged to some degree. She's still got a lot of repair to go. Roseanne Barr has an entire history, a backlog of things that have happened. She was she got in trouble not that long ago for calling someone else an ape in another situation. I mean, she either called somebody a monkey or an ape. She used that terminology in describing somebody else on Twitter. She went after Chelsea Clinton in a series of tweets and called her, changed her middle name to Soros. George Soros,
yeah.
who is a billionaire who was born in Hungary during the Holocaust time. And he I believe in his family, had to hide the fact that they were from Hungary so that they could escape that area from the Holocaust. And for whatever reason, she threw that name around like it was supposed to be some sort of an insult. So these kinds of things have been normalized by people like Roseanne Barr and other racists that come out and say certain things. And then what you end up having all the time is the apology. The apology that doesn't work, the apology that makes no sense, the apology that seems disingenuous. And what ends up happening in the long run is that after all of those things happen, the veil has been pulled off the racists, and then you finally see them for what they are. And this is why Twitter's backlash has been as strong as it's been.
But, no, the reason we discussed it, the reason why Twitter is strong as it's been before, was that man in the house had reopened Twitter to a whole different level that people are expressing themselves to a certain degree, like Roseanne. But I slightly disagree. I do see Roseanne making a comeback, but this is a crazy world, and I believe anything could happen. If Roseanne pulled this stuff like this before, and think about it, the show made a great comeback. Talk about Trump administration. Like I said, there's Trump supporters out there. They like to see this type of thing. And I sent you text last night, Sean, of people that were so upset about Roseanne being canceled. And it was mentioned other shows, which I refuse to mention on the air right now. Why those shows are not canceled, but they bashed Trump. And you heard it earlier, guys, that like you said, that Trump did not get an apology from Bob Iger. So if there's a difference between what was said about Donald Trump compared to what Roseanne said via Twitter, think about that.
It's pretty much the same in this
sense. It's pretty much the same. But Trump attacked. I'm not defending Trump. But Trump has said a lot of things, and a lot of people say a lot of nasty things on television about Trump. So why are they still on the air compared to Roseanne?
Well,
do you see the double standard? Do you see the double standard of what I'm trying to say?
Okay, I see what you're trying to say, but guess what? The difference is, yes, they bash Trump. There are shows out there that, like, bash the hell out of him.
Don't say any show names.
No, I'm not going to say any show names. I'm not bringing up any show names. But, however, with Roseanne's case, this was a racist statement.
But there have been other shows that on, I could say the network, Fox Network, they've been saying racist stuff all the time. They're still on the
air. Oh, yes, they do.
But you see, this one talks about double standard. Go ahead.
Oh, but don't forget who owns Fox, and don't forget who owns ABC.
What about CNN? CNN has said some stuff.
Yeah,
everybody has said stuff. So
but like I said, don't forget who owns. But don't forget who owns those stations. Remember, those networks are owned by different people, because you see with Fox, the difference is that Fox is owned by someone who's a fanatic, who's a right-wing fanatic. And that's, and that is why Fox News is all right-wing, right-wing conservative, or very right-wing conservative, whereas ABC is run by Disney. And you also have CNN. You also have all of them are, you know, are run by different people. So if anything goes, but as but the difference is that when Roseanne used a racial epithet, like when you're using apes, you know how long black people have been called apes. That right there is a different type of statement.
Okay. Oh, well, Tashawn, talk about apes and everything. Bill O'Reilly has been using terms for years until he finally got, and he did not get yanked for that. He got yanked for sexual harassment. So you see what I mean by the double standard of that?
Right.
I mean, yes, granted, it was by
Fox. Glenn Beck, I could bring up Glenn Beck when Glenn Beck got yanked off because of what he had said that President Obama, during President Obama's administration, when he said that President Obama hates white people.
See, the tone has been set from above by Donald Trump. We have established this for the last 2 years now, two full years. This has been the case. People that either follow Trump, people that are in his base, or people that think like him, continue to run on those same tropes all the time. When you are emboldened to be able to say the disgusting things that we've heard from a lot of politicians, we've heard from a lot of other actors, et cetera, that have gone on and made rants like that have been busted as racist or have said something that has been either borderline racist, et cetera, those are the ones that have been getting excoriated on social media. The double standard that you're talking about here is, like you said, with Bill O'Reilly. He didn't get busted for a lot of racial undertones. He got busted for sexual harassment, sexual assault, lawsuits that have befallen a lot of people on that news network that have gone from certain people all the way down. As the expression goes, the head stinks all the way, stinks from the head down. A dead fish stinks from the head down. If the head of the fish is Trump, and he's filtering down all of this garbage and racism, and as we've talked about before, the same excuses that were made with the NFL and the anthem, it was freedom of speech. The players were called, and I quote from what Trump said, sons of bitches, end quote, because of how they were portrayed as not being patriotic when they had nothing to do with that. He changed that mentality and changed the narrative of the discussion. Whereas the supporters that are now backing Roseanne are saying, I can't believe ABC got rid of her because she's saying her freedom of speech. You can't have it both ways. You can't say on one side that the racial tone that you're giving toward the NFL anthem protests are, in your mind, disgusting and they should be country and throw all these racial stereotypes and racial epithets at the players for using their constitutional right to protest, and that is their First Amendment right. Then on the other hand, when Roseanne says something completely racist and completely out of bounds, you can't say ABC shouldn't have fired her because she was expressing her First Amendment right. You can't have it both ways and then try to get a broad dynamic and think that that's going to work, because it doesn't.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I just got a message from Jordan on our page. The same people mad about Roseanne free speech being violated because she got fired for being racist were just celebrating the NFL forbidding players from silently and peacefully protesting during the national anthem.
Exactly. And that's one of the other things.
I agree.
And meanwhile, with all of this stuff going on, as we're talking about this, which is the tone and the fever of the country, Donald Trump still has not been taken to task for what's going on in Puerto Rico. We're still talking about what initially was, quote-unquote, 64 deaths. Now they're talking about over 4,600 deaths
Puerto Rico. 4,000 people
because
died.
Of what's going on with Hurricane Maria. That was all on this president's watch. But everything has been deflected to a lot of other things. Now, this is an important topic. This needs to be brought up. This needs to be talked about. And a lot of the ideas and a lot of the tone has to be brought up and discussed, because this is one thing that is never going to go away. As long as there are people that think differently, that either think that they are superior to one gender, race, creed, or religion, you're going to always have this kind of conflict. There has to be an open dialogue to try and get this taken care of. But,
I got another message. Wow, I'm on fire tonight. Dave Herman said, ABC did not fire Roseanne for being racist. Excuse me, being a racist. She was always a racist. ABC fired her because she wouldn't keep her racism just below the surface where ABC could profit from it.
That's a fair opinion.
Very fair.
In all reality, though, as I stated before, the president of ABC Entertainment is an African-American woman. And if, as we talked about just a little while ago, if we know that networks are all about making money, dynamically making money because of programming, streaming, websites,
right,
movies, et cetera, merchandising, if that's what they're supposed to be doing, then they know that other companies that are either doing advertising with a network and they're selling their time to sell a product, it, depending on the kind of product they're selling, they do not want to be associated with something that is going to potentially harm their brand. So if you have a company that's selling something geared at women or geared towards a minority or geared toward children, and they are associated with Roseanne, who just spewed a whole bunch of bile on Twitter, who said she was going to swear off Twitter and then came back to it 6 hours later and has been on it nonstop. If you're going to be associated with that, you're going to lose money. So they
have to,
as they say, nip it in the bud and head it off at the pass before it got any worse. And I applaud ABC for getting in front of it. I applaud the direction that the company went with this. Whatever you, people who are cynical about these kinds of things and think, well, it's only just about money, I'm pretty sure that was a factor, but let's really be honest. ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney has a reputation not just in this country, but worldwide.
Tech. Yeah.
And if they have to protect it by doing something like this, then it's something that has to be done.
Wow, you guys know a lot about Disney for some reason. But besides that,
you have to do what's best. In other words, in the famous words of wrestling, you have to do what's best for business.
True.
How did I know we were going to hear that before the night was over? We were going to hear that at some point.
I tried to avoid that at all time tonight. But in other words, bottom line is, this won't be the first or won't be the last of this racism we want to talk about.
No,
it seems like
there's
more to come. Yes. This is like an ongoing civil war now. I think this is a new form of civil war that we discussed with Brother B last week. All of a sudden, Donald Trump has opened his closet for the skeletons to come out. Well, Kato, like I asked Sean earlier, if you have a friend, we all have a mutual friend who's white.
Right.
Are we all be okay after all these years that he was cracking up racist jokes or in the windows to find out to be that he was a racist all this time? What would be your reaction to it if he was, quote-unquote, your friend after all these years? It would seem like white people, or racism, I should say, is coming out of all these people all of a sudden. Like, will you be comfortable if, to know right now that your friend is a racist, or you have to keep it hidden?
Listen, it would put me in a very uncomfortable state as a black person to know that someone who I know, or, well, by then it used to associate myself with, is a flat-out racist. That's like, for me, I wouldn't want to deal with that at all. Because for me, personally, I am so anti-racist, and I'm not going to put up with anybody being racist. I shouldn't have to tolerate it.
Okay, Sean.
like you said, we had this discussion actually off air. Probably about 10 minutes before we went on.
Hold on. Kato, what are you doing?
Oh, wait a minute. There's a noise. Okay. It's a
it sounds like you got Smurfs playing pinball over there or something.
Nah.
No, that was my mic.
No, Kato's hanging out with the white people in the back, and they're trying to beat us up. That's all. But go ahead.
We all have friends that have said borderline racist things or have said something that was politically incorrect. And if you know the heart of the person that is your friend, you accept certain things. You may warn them. You may tell them, you know, that's not the right thing to say, is it? If you find out that that person deep wholeheartedly is racist, I would probably have a problem being around them. Now,
yeah.
It's one of those things that you have to understand. If you're African-American or any minority in this country, there are certain subjects that are certain things that you just do not broach. One thing, I have Jewish friends. The one thing, being an African-American, you will never do is compare anybody's pain to anyone else's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Holocaust was an atrocity, but you never compare it to someone else's pain. Slavery was an atrocity, but you never compare it to someone else's pain. And as long as you stay away from those and you take that race, creed, religion's pain with respect and leave it for what it is, and you don't try to conflate it with something else, you can respectfully understand where they're coming from, and both can appreciate the pain that that person's group went through, be able to maybe discuss it, and still live in harmony about it. But a lot of times I hear a lot of people say, well, this was worse than that. Well, you can't compare this to that. And you can't – you leave that alone and just appreciate it for what it is, which is an atrocity, and you can move on from there and not try to compare anybody's pain to someone else's. It just is a no-win situation.
Okay. So I'd like to go to the next topic, talk about pain. Okay, folks, we have not done this in a while. We're going from a serious topic. But Sean, K-Dog, and I, we want to do a sports show, so we're going to blend in the two together. Tomorrow night is the NBA Finals. And we know who's going there, unfortunately, for the fourth time in a row. It will be the Cleveland Cavaliers. I can't even say their name now.
Cavaliers.
Why? Because you're sober. That's the reason why you can't.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is, for the fourth time in a year, it will be LeBron James versus the Golden State Warriors. That's who it is right now.
Damn.
That's what I meant to say. Well, all right. Before we talk about the finals, let's talk a little bit about the conference finals. Sean, who do you think was the biggest choker? The Boston Celtics in the last 5 minutes of the game against LeBron and his so-called team, or the 0-for-27 three-point line Houston Rockets?
I think the Rockets, they wet the bed in, like you said, the rest of that game. They couldn't buy a three-point shot. So knowing that they're going up against a team that they had a chance to eliminate and blew it, they should have done it in Game 6. They took the Game 7 to go to Houston, and then they just wet the bed. Looking at the Eastern Conference, the Celtics were just a young squad that they should have been able to take care of the Cavaliers in Game 6. Same situation. The difference is, the Celtics are a young team with and look how far they went without Kyrie Irving, without
exactly.
Gordon Hayward, who they lost him in game one of the season. So he didn't even get a chance to play any games. The fact that they got that far,
you know,
with
what?
That young squad.
I forgot all about him.
Yes.
Throughout the whole season.
Yeah, without.
You're right.
Yes.
Yeah, without Kyrie Irving.
Remember,
no,
Gordon, Gordon Hayward just had surgery to remove the plates and screws in his leg that he broke at the beginning of the season. So he's going to be ready for training camp. But here's the thing. They got this far without Kyrie. So this also makes it look like, okay, the Celtics have a very young squad. If they get the experience and they get the roster that they wanted, which is right now, they've got some studs there. Tatum looked good. Smart looked good.
Tatum,
not in that game because they absolutely looked barren.
But I believe Tatum still have some learning to do, you know.
Yes.
He needs to know when to keep his mouth shut.
He's
young. A rookie. He's a rookie. He was being naive. But he was a good player. But don't try and step up towards LeBron James. Let's be honest.
You know what it is? The thing with the Boston team, like I said, they're young. And trust me, this experience is going to make them a stronger team next season. I could see that. And for the Houston Rockets, all I got to say is this, is that in watching the game, they fell asleep in the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, see, this is what I saw. They were celebrating way too early when they were up 20. They were celebrating and jumping for joy. I'm like, you guys are playing against a team that has some serious shooters. Don't forget about Steph Curry. Don't forget about Klay Thompson. Even Draymond Green. Sean Livingston. Those guys are gonna shoot to outscore you. And that's exactly what happened.
And they weren't even playing particularly well, especially since Curry had missed a good chunk of the playoffs and was starting to get his sea legs together. Then he finally started to get the sea legs together, and the rest of the team started to come along. The Rockets had a chance to take them out, and they let the Warriors back into the series, and we saw what happened.
In the third quarter.
Yes, fourth quarter happened.
They blew a 20-point lead, and
The thing that a lot of people are realizing, and we can say that this is a factor, Chris Paul pulled his hamstring. He wasn't able to play. Game 7, he didn't play at all. And that put, once again, the spotlight back on James Harden. And as we've seen in the last 4 years that he's been in Houston and since he's left Oklahoma City, and has become the star that he is, he still has not shown that he can come through in the clutch when it needs to be used in the postseason. As we saw,
he always chokes. Always chokes. He fell asleep, and that's what I saw.
And like
he
I told Sean earlier, he failed overall.
Yes, he did.
He was the highest paid player, highest percentage, MVP status, but in the end, okay, LeBron James carried his team by himself.
LeBron had that attitude. If nobody else do it, I'm doing it.
And we have James Harden, who wants to be the man, who cannot. He have an opportunity to become the man, and came up short again. And like Sean said, and I told Sean earlier, it was Chris Paul was, to me, the major factor. If Chris Paul was still healthy, I believe that we will have a different series right now.
Yeah.
But back then, wasn't guys playing with hamstrings? They just put a band-aid around their hand and went back to the court and play? This is a different generation now, you know. Everybody have to be careful.
It's a different era of ball. I mean, it's not the same no more. Because, you know, the players back then, the players we knew, because I remember watching the Bulls play, it was like extraordinary, man. Those guys have played through pain.
Okay, now on to LeBron James and the Cavs. We all can agree this is not the strongest team out there. LeBron did a great job carrying the team by himself to the finals. And let's be honest, that conference overall is weaker than the Western Conference. But
Eastern Conference.
It seems like you're breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking
I
up,
am?
Rod.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't
I
hear
am?
You.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Barely.
Okay.
Yeah,
I believe the Hot Rod is having technical difficulties. Go figure.
Yeah, he's having difficult.
Oh.
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah.
I can kind of make out what you're saying, but go on ahead and see if we can hear you.
Oh, sorry to take you guys off subject, but the Stanley Cup final, the game, the series is tied at 1-1.
Okay. The last I saw it, it was 3-1 Washington, so.
Yeah, 3-2.
3-2,
Washington won it. Yeah.
Okay. I guess we'll figure out if Hot Rod ever gets his mic fixed, but I think I kind of have an idea with the question where he's going. So what I'll do is...
I'm back.
Okay,
hold on,
back?
I'm back.
Okay, good.
All right.
Okay. All right, let's go back to LeBron James. Okay, before I answer the full question, do you see LeBron James and the Cavs winning this, K-Dog, Sean? This is a yes or no answer.
From the looks of it, I could say it's anyone's game because I'm not making any predictions until I see game number 3. That's when I'm making a prediction.
Sean?
I will make a bold prediction, and I'm going to say that based on what I've seen, just on sheer willpower, I think it's going to go 7 games. But I think this is going to go to the Warriors. The reason why I say that is I saw way too much fight in LeBron for him not to be able to will this team at least to game 7. Now, do I think that the Warriors are going to win this? I think so, because as I stated, Curry has had the time to get back into it. And then the rest of this team is going to be, remember, they got home court. They're going to be playing the way that they've been playing. They're going to have a little bit more rest. LeBron doesn't have that full squad of guys like him. Because remember, we don't know about Kevin Love and his availability in game 1 because of the concussion protocol that he's in. Jeff Green, is he going to show up like he did before? What about Rodney Hood? What's going to happen with Larry Nash Jr.? Is he going to be the defensive stalwart that he's supposed to be? So we'll find out as the series goes along, but I think that what's going to happen is LeBron is going to give you, as he has steadily given you in these playoffs, he's giving you 30, he's giving you 15, he's giving you 9 or 10 assists, and that's going to be enough to get them to game 7, I think. But if that's the case, I think the Warriors are going to win this in 7.
Okay. Honestly, the Warriors should sweep this all the way because, as Kato mentioned, all the players, the Warriors have an all-star team compared to the Cavs. And like I said earlier, this is like one of the weakest teams LeBron ever had before. But by the stroke of luck, if LeBron pulled one of the biggest upset and win the finals, would that make him the GOAT? And the debate of all debates.
I would say he's a future Hall of Famer. But would I say the greatest of all time? That's some big shoes to fill, man. That's seriously some big shoes to fill.
Well, you say that, but that's the thing. He have a team. If you compare to both teams, the Warriors should end this in 4 games, but it won't be a sweep. But you have LeBron James with. You know he's going to play 48, 50 minutes by himself easily. And for him to reach to the finals and to win the finals against an all-star team, then that will not make him the GOAT?
I can't really say the greatest of all time. I could say the greatest of his generation. That's how I see it.
Sean?
You understand?
I'm going to say this as succinctly as I can. We cannot compare eras and say this person is going to be better than that person. And the reason why I say this is because everybody that has been great in their era has been great for particularly different reasons.
Right.
We know what Michael Jordan brought to the table. We know about the 6 rings. We know he never lost in any NBA finals. We know about the 6 MVPs and the final 6 finals MVPs. So we know all of that. We know about the scoring titles. We know about all of that stuff. LeBron has done things that Michael Jordan never did. And that's different because it's a different era. He never played against Jordan. He never did a lot of those things that a lot of people could say. So most people look at LeBron, and the closest that they will compare Jordan to was Kobe Bryant, as far as people in the era that LeBron played, because of similar style, similar body types, similar killer instinct.
And Kobe got five rings.
Yes. And the thing is, most people think the end-all, be-all to compare somebody is championships, which we know is never supposed to be the case. But when everybody gets into, as they call it, ball-cutting time, and you get to where you're looking for the actual description, how much did he win? How many rings did he get? LeBron's got 3 rings. LeBron has been in the NBA Finals now in his ninth
time. How many times?
Out of eight, going on his ninth.
Okay.
Listen
to yourself, Sean. 3 out of 8. Is that a good percentage overall?
Compared to,
Jordan got 6-0. Kobe got 5.
6-0, yes.
Kobe, 5-0.
Let's also call a spade a spade. As great as Michael Jordan was, Michael Jordan had a completely different, better squad in those 2 three-peats that he's had. He has a future Hall of Famer. Michael Jordan has a future Hall of Famer with him is Scottie Pippen through all six of those championships. He's had lots of players that have won rings and have gone on and done certain things elsewhere.
But LeBron had Dwayne Wade. Miami, hello. That was the all-star team back then.
LeBron had to win a championship. Let me just say this, in order for him to win a championship, he had to make the switch. He had to make the switch to Miami in order for him to get a championship.
He made a switch. But Cato, remember, back then in the Jordan area, they built around Jordan. LeBron he jumped ship. And that's the problem we have today. Just like Kevin Durant. He had to jump ship to go to Golden State to get his first ring. Jordan didn't have to do that.
No, you're right about the All-Star team. Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, none of them left their teams to win a championship.
Well, let's think of it like this. If we're going on the Kobe thing. Kobe wasn't drafted by the Lakers. He was drafted by the Hornets. He didn't want to play with the Hornets. So they traded him day one. So if he was to stay with the Hornets, who knows what his career would have been.
It would have been washed down easily.
Yeah. If we're looking at right now, we're looking at how teams are put together and construed right now. As we stated before, LeBron got the Cleveland Cavaliers to the finals back in 2007, and they were ripped apart by the Spurs. We knew that wasn't going to happen.
That.
And the reason why that didn't happen is basically what happened this year. LeBron had a couple players here and there. But let's really be honest about this. It was LeBron versus 5 of the guys. When he went to Miami and he was able to go to those 4 straight NBA finals in Miami, he had a squad around him. He had a bench he had coming off to help him win. He gets to Cleveland, and because they had some pieces there, some of those pieces came from other places where they were contributors. They played defense, and LeBron was able to just do what he was able to do.
But didn't LeBron control that? Did he change things around and build a team around him to his liking, like he did right now?
To some degree.
Oh, yeah, because
LeBron also was the leader. What was that?
I'm sorry?
LeBron wanted something, and so LeBron got what he wanted.
Yeah, if you're plugging somebody as great as LeBron around a lot of also-rans and pieces and bits and pieces that were good in other places, you can will them to greatness if you are indeed great yourself. But also, let's also really call it what it is. The Western Conference, especially in this era, has been historically better than the East in this last few years. The Western Conference has, for the most part, been very, very good as far as all of the teams. The Spurs have won 5 rings. We know a lot of the teams that have come out from the Western Conference, the Lakers. So we know going in that it's been a long time coming for a team to be that good.
We got 5 minutes left, Sean. Not to contradict of what you just said, someone brought this to my attention. Yes, LeBron made it to the conference 8 years in a row. But if you think about it, like you just said, the Western Conference have been very dominated for many years. Maybe because LeBron made it this far. I'm not saying not knowing how it works, because we have a very weak Eastern Conference. The only team that almost got to them was the Boston Celtics this year, and they choke. Is that maybe one of the problems?
Oh, I'll give you that. That's really, we're also calling it the way it is. The Eastern Conference has always been weaker than the Western Conference. We already know
that. Yes, it has. And it showed.
The Toronto Raptors, a number one seed, got swept by LeBron. LeBron.
And there
We've seen some outstanding play.
As you just stated, LeBron.
I will say this about the Western Conference. I saw some outstanding plays during the Western Conference when even during the playoffs, when the playoffs first started, I mean, they were playing some great basketball, serious basketball.
Well, we got 4 minutes left. Bottom line is, I just want to say this before I give it to you guys. I just see the Warriors win it. It should be a sweep, but it's not going, they're not going to have it that way. Because sometimes, you know, the Warriors are very cocky, which, you know what? They're entitled to it now, you know. They got an all-star team. They got the rings. They got the squad. So be it. They probably will lose one on purpose so they can win at home. Because, you know, they love to win at home. To go all the crowd, all the wife, which I understand that. LeBron James, like I said, if he pulls this off, I do see him at that next level of greatness because he basically did this by himself. And, Sean, you may say that he got all these scores and everything. He played the game, the whole game by himself. Jordan never played 50 minutes all the time. LeBron James, he's a defense, the GM, the coach. He wants to be an owner one day. He done all roles in one game. I
and
give
also,
LeBron credit for that.
You also have to remember how many playoff minutes, how many games he's played during the Olympics. You got to take into consideration all of the minutes that he logged in on his body. And now in his 15th season in the league, he has played all 82 games of the regular season. He's played every postseason game. And he's logged in, if I'm not mistaken, 14 or 15 more minutes than anyone else in the league
this year.
In his 15th year. By the time that Kobe Bryant was settling down, he was basically just a spot-up jump shooter. Most of that is because of his knees. He was breaking down the injuries that he had. But LeBron, for the most part, has not been injured. He's had things where he's taking time off to rest his body, knowing that you're going to need him down the stretch. But if you look at him after game
seven. What about game six? He was fatigued.
Exactly. And you know what?
Yeah, because he was worn out. Because he was doing it by himself.
On his back. I'd be fatigued also.
Well, my thing is, guys, you can't have it all, you know. You can't carry a team, be 100%, score every two seconds, you know,
and expect
to be in a championship.
That's the juxtaposition that is the blessings and the curse of LeBron James, where we know that LeBron James is probably the greatest basketball player on the court right now. The problem is he doesn't have a team around him that you would see as elite. When we talk about LeBron James, we don't talk about LeBron James and the elite teams that he played on. We talk about the greatness of LeBron and maybe one or two other players, but it was mostly LeBron and how he was able to will teams along.
Okay,
when we
quickly.
Hold on, quickly.
We got a minute left. Once LeBron lose, do you see him stay in Cavs or he's going somewhere else? K-Dog.
He's going somewhere else.
Well, pick a team.
He'll probably go to the Lakers or to Philly.
Sean, do you see him staying or going?
I still think he's staying in Cleveland. That's just me. I think he's going to probably sign like a 2-year deal and stay in Cleveland.
I also believe he will stay 2 year, like a year or two, to give it one more chance. Because I believe he still wants to give Cleveland another ring to make him a Jesus or a God down there, and you know, call it quits. I think he want to retire in Cleveland. That's my heart feeling. Well, guys, thank you so much for the show tonight. Can I enjoy the rest of my night, please, Sean Black? Please tune in next week, too. Tune in next week to the Absolute Truth Show. I'm not giving no topics yet because I don't want to jinx it. As always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
LeBron James.
No, it was really LeBron James tonight.
Yes.
All right.
Enjoy.
Remember, Warriors in five. and 8.
Well, damn.
Well, I say Warriors in 7, so there you go.
Yeah. I'm picking them in 7, too.